There are so many issues throughout all levels of government that smart Christians need to view it as a way to care for our neighbor by making good decisions.
Molly Hemingway talking about her joint presentation with her husband, Mark, at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The federal government has gotten much more involved in family formation or family destruction, abortion, other issues. And there are so many ways in which it's important for us to think about how we can defend the weak and vulnerable among us by making good decisions.
You can watch journalists Molly and Mark Hemingway making the case for Christian political engagement at this year's Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. The $135 registration fee includes the ability to watch a live stream and a recording. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
I believe that it's going to be Father God, Lord Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit that will finally heal this racial divide in our lives, in our city, and in the world.
Religion has always offered a check on state power. That's why totalitarian movements have always hated churches, because they can't control their messages.
What God the Holy Spirit gave on the day of Pentecost is not somebody to be able to say, should have bought a Hyundai, could have bought a Kia. You know, that's not tongues. That's a string of nonsensical syllable salad.
Dying man's consolation is nothing in himself, but everything in Jesus. Jesus has won the victory over death. Jesus forgives sins.
Homeschooling moms listen to Issues Etc. while doing the laundry.
For many of us, it is unprecedented. We have not seen or heard anything like this before, especially those of us who have grown up in 20th and 21st century America. Calls to defund the police, kind of a radical aim at overturning American institutions. It's shocking. It's horrifying at times, and it shakes one's trust in history and one's trust in one's nation. Now, of course, you might say this is just a small, very small group of radicals, but the ideas are powerful, dangerously powerful. But what are those ideas that drive the radical agenda for American institutions? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, June the 22nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Dr. Uwe Simonetto, author of a recent letter to the editor published by the Wall Street Journal titled Antonio Gramsci Would Be Thrilled by Today's Politics. A little bit later, we'll be spending some time with Pastor Peter Bender in our series Lutheran Catechesis. We'll be talking about Christian vocation and the table of duties. Joining us to discuss the radical agenda for American institutions, Dr. Uwe Simonetto, former religion editor for United Press International, founder and emeritus director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life. He's author of a recent letter to the editor in the Wall Street Journal titled Antonio Gramsci Would Be Thrilled by Today's Politics. Uwe, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Does this have a familiar ring to you, all of this unrest and calls for defunding and dismantling police forces and the like?
Yes, of course. It reminds me of the 1960s, but actually it reminds me of everything that's been going on since then. And that is really the attempt to undermine institutions. It's whether the police... whether you mean the police as an institution, but the church, we have had that before. Remember, people trying to persuade the district to persuade other church members that it was good to marry a member of your own sex. All this is part of a very well concocted scheme that in the 1930s came from a man by the name of Antonio Gramsci. He was a Sardinian communist and went to the Soviet Union, lived in the Soviet Union, witnessed the bloody revolution there and the mass murder, the slaughter of millions of people, and then fled from the Soviet Union and came back to Italy and said, well, this is not the way to make this revolution succeed. The only way to make a revolution succeed is to undermine the institutions of Western culture. And these institutions are, among others, of course, government, including the police, the military, etc., the church, education, the media, etc. And if you do that with patience, then, of course, you will have the revolution succeed.
So let's talk about what it was like when that was actually being implemented, attempts elsewhere in the past to undermine a society's institutions and thereby bring about, in essence, a slow but quiet revolution.
Yeah, it is it's an ongoing process, Todd. It's not that it's a stop-and-go thing. I mean, it's an ongoing process that at least some of us, and I've been following this now very, very carefully since the 1970s, when I first read about Gramsci, and then remembering the 1960s and remembering the behavior of the media and in this country and elsewhere in the world in connection to Vietnam War and other things. And it's an ongoing process, and it pops up time and again and time and again. And it is, well, as I said in this letter to the editors of the Wall Street Journal, it is really an attempt to undermine orders of creation. If you say there is no law and order, but God has established order in the left-hand kingdom in the secular world, and that's where we have authorities. Take Romans 13. If you undermine this, if you undermine the education system, if you undermine any authority, and if you undermine the church and its teachings, and, of course, most importantly, the family and marriage, then you arrive at this point. There's something else, if I might add to that, that has occurred to me. I've had a long discussion about this morning with friends and a friend in Berlin, because you have this crazy stuff about the Black Lives Matter campaign with people attacking the police in Germany, of all places, in France and elsewhere. In Germany, our cops are trained for 2.5 years. They're very solid customers. They call them pigs. They attack them. In Stuttgart last night, something like 27 cops were severely injured in riots, all emanating from this thing. And when I read all this, I remembered Luther's famous word, the plebs have no reason, or the rabble has no reason. And you have a repetition of this all the time and all the time and all the time. You have a rabble hitting loose. And of course, if you go, this goes back to Reformation Day era, if you think of the Peasants' Wars and all these things. And we have this right now. It makes no sense, but there is no resistance against it from supposedly reasonable people. And that I find rather upsetting and rather disturbing.
Do you get any sense that, at least here in America and elsewhere where this kind of unrest is taking place, do you get any sense that these ideas are consciously in the minds of those who are enacting the unrest?
Conscious, I don't know whether it's conscious or not, or whether it is not just like an illness, like something that you have in your genes. Or if you use a theological term, to call it original sin. It is there. There is a segment of the human race that does these things. I mean, I'm watching these things. I'm not talking about peaceful attack, peaceful protests against bad police behavior, which are perfectly legitimate in a democracy. Talking about this violence, the way they wound other people, the way they destroy shops in America, black-owned stores and shops, businesses that go bust. tens of millions of dollars worth of damage. And it reminds me of something that's been going on. I always wondered, are they not identical to the people? Are they not actually identical to the Ku Klux Klan? Are they not identical to the Nazis, or to those Germans? I'm not talking about the majority, or those Germans who now wearing a uniform march into the Soviet Union and murder Jews and God knows who else. Is there not a mindset here that finds it necessary to destroy and to hurt and take any opportunity to do so? And it suddenly is triggered. It's triggered by some crazy thing, like a mad policeman or bad policeman evidently murdering. He has not been sentenced yet, or not been found guilty yet, but murdering a black man for no reason whatsoever. And they take this, and then this triggers something, and then you have a mass movement, and it comes in waves. And the less we are aware of our obligations, I think, to the Creator and to our fellow man, the more often this will come. And unfortunately, I don't think that that the media, and this is not just an American phenomenon, it's, we have it in Germany, you have it in France, you have it in England, the media play a very catastrophic role in all this.
We'll talk about the media's role in this a little bit more with Dr. Uwe Simonetto. We're talking about the radical agenda for American institutions. Uwe is author of a recent Wall Street Journal letter to the editor titled "Antonio Gramsci Would Be Thrilled by Today's Politics."
Commanded to serve our families and our communities to the best of our abilities. And, you know, we should take our vocational responsibilities in these areas very seriously. And I think that involves making sure that we create conditions in America that continue to allow religious freedom and allow our Lutheran faith to continue to thrive, and that we can continue to evangelize.
Mark Hemingway talking about his joint presentation with his wife Molly at this year's virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The fact of the matter is that on those particular issues of religious liberty and preserving our faith from the onslaught of bad cultural and political ideas, things have never been more dire, and it's more important than ever.
You can watch journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway making the case for Christian political engagement at the 2020 virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. The premier conference for Christian laity. It's Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
In Christ, you are crowned with glory and honor, and the fullness of that glory and honor awaits you in heaven and in the resurrection of your flesh to life and immortality.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
To him be all glory, honor, and praise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks to Kristen in Snohomish, Washington, Timothy in Austin, Texas, Lorianne in Stirum, North Dakota, and others for registering this weekend for the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Making the Case features presentations by Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Matt Walsh, Brian Wolfmiller, and Hans Feeney. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July the 24th and Saturday, July the 25th. Registration includes both live and on-demand viewing. Find a conference schedule and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. We're talking about the Radical Agenda for American Institutions. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. Uwe, I'm curious, as a journalist and a storied career journalist, how do you feel the media is contributing to this?
Well, the media is contributing very badly to it. It's doing an enormous amount of damage because the media have lost, like so many other institutions, their way. Again, I'm repeating something I told this friend of mine, who's a German diplomat in Berlin. I said, when I was trained as a journalist, when I started 62 years ago with the Associated Press in Frankfurt, I was not expected to voice any opinion or launch any projects, any ideological projects, or push any line. But I was expected to report, which means I had to research, I had to check out the opposing views. You, Todd Wilkins, tell me one thing, Jeff Schwartz another, check both things out, and then I report it without my opinion, or at least without allowing my opinion to influence my writing. Of course, we are all humans, we make mistakes, but we have to make the utmost effort not to try to persuade our readers of how to react, how to receive this news. They should get informed, period. And this is no longer the case. We started in the Vietnam War era when you had Walter Cronkite declare the exact opposite of what I actually experienced in Vietnam during a Tet Offensive in Hue, that the Viet Cong had won, or this war was unwinnable, when we were there, realized that militarily the Viet Cong in North Vietnam had lost the war. And it goes on and on and on, and you no longer have the form of journalism that I learned in Frankfurt in 1962 when I started with the Associated Press as a junior editor. This is the biggest problem we have at the moment. We no longer, and then of course social media are making things even worse. People are so befuddled, they don't know what to think anymore, not to know, because we don't offer them the information, totally unspoiled information, clear information. That's all we have to do. And that is, when, for example, the graduates of Columbia School of Journalism in New York are asked, why did you choose to become a journalist? 70% of them say, you habitually say, well, to make this a better world. No, you don't become a baker to make this a better world. You become a baker to make the best bread possible for your customers. And you become a journalist to provide the best copy possible for your readers or listeners, and not to make this a better world. Joseph Goebbels, Hitler's propaganda minister, also thought he wanted to make this a better world by spreading Nazi propaganda, or the Soviet agitprop department, the same sort of thing. This is what is destroying this democracy, and Todd, I'm 83. I fear that before I go crawl into my box, I'll see the end of democracy. And I've seen two dictatorships before, one in Nazi Germany and then Communist East Germany. And I really seriously believe this, and I seriously believe that the American media, both sides, by the way, I mean, you have some pretty damaging stuff going on the right wing as well. But, I mean, it's so disastrous, except why don't they just do their work? That is my main issue.
How does the unrest in the U.S. compare with unrest in Europe?
Well, it's as nutty in Europe. It's even nuttier in Europe than it is here, because at least here you do have this, do have the race problem. You still have that. You have, I fear, often very badly trained or insufficiently trained policemen. I'm not condemning all the cops by all, no means. I admire them greatly for what they have to do. But in Europe, you don't have that issue. And still, they pick it up, and then they use it as an excuse to commit acts of violence against the institutions of the state, against the cops, kill and or badly injure policemen, and destroy stores and businesses and God knows what. I think the European thing is even crazier than here. Here is crazy enough, and in Europe it's even more idiotic, because they have nothing else to do, you see. But it is a worldwide phenomenon. Again, this is, again, due to the globalization of the media, which you can't avoid, because, I mean, all the news flows back and forth across the Atlantic. If something happens outside my door here at Laguna Woods in California, something drastic happens, my relatives in Germany will know about it 5 minutes later. And that is, of course, the great, great danger, because you can no longer bring reason to populaces that go absolutely nuts. Again, as Luther said, the plebs or the rabble have no reason, which is why he opposed the peasants' uprising, the violence in the peasants' uprising.
With just about 2 minutes here, if you had an opportunity to speak to the young people who are getting swept up in the social unrest, even those that are kind of dreaming of an anarchist utopia, what would you say to them?
Try to think, try to cool down, take a shower, a cold shower preferably, and go to your grandmother and ask her what she thinks, because she has been through much worse than you have. And but how do you force reason to persuade people who are unreasonable to be reasonable? Unless you have parents and grandparents who treat you properly, who bring you up properly, and you have schools where kids are being taught well. And I don't have the answer, because you have these waves. I remember the 60s. I mean, this was absolutely demented what went on in this country and in the rest of the world. And then before that, of course, Nazi Germany and all that. So you had other crazy events going on elsewhere. Unless we return to proper orders of creation, which means the family, which means upbringing, fathers in the house at the head of the table, fathers going to church with them, with their children, and their wives, of course, this is going to go down the drain.
With about 30 seconds here, Uwe, as someone who grew up in East Germany, what lessons can 21st century Americans learn from your experience?
21st century Americans can learn from my experience that unless you use your reason and faith, but the reason is, for this purpose, is good enough, because the reason is involves natural law. And if you use natural law, which is from God after all, you'll be fine. But unless you do that, unless you return this, unless you change your educational system and restore it to where it was, we have no future. Democracy has no future in this country, and in Europe, by the way. That's the same thing.
Uwe Simonetto is a former religion editor for United Press International and founder and emeritus director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life. He's author of a recent letter to the editor published by the Wall Street Journal titled "Antonio Gramsci Would Be Thrilled by Today's Politics." Uwe, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd.
On the other side of the break, it's time for our series on Lutheran catechesis. Today we're going to be talking about Christian vocation and the table of duties. Pastor Peter Bender, director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, will join us. The boy who was lost, the beggar's greatest wish, the unforgiving servant. These are some of the 12 stories that you'll find in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Archbook's Treasury, Life of Jesus. Learn more about this resource for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 5 through 9 at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Archbook's Treasury, Life of Jesus, 1-800-325-3040.
At Hope Lutheran Church in Sunbury, Ohio, you will find rest for your soul, strength for the day, forgiveness of sins, and hope for the future through Jesus Christ. Because at Hope, you'll hear the Word of God faithfully taught and receive the sacrament faithfully delivered. This is Pastor Ben Meyer inviting you to join us at Hope for Bible class and Sunday school at 9:15 a.m. and the Divine Service at 8 and 10:30 a.m. Find us on the web at hopelutheransunbury.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're going to continue our romp through Romans. Israel's remnant, jealous of Gentiles, Gentiles grafted in, mystery of Israel's salvation, and a living sacrifice. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Ascension of Christ Lutheran, Beverly Hills, Michigan. Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Sherman, Illinois. Hope Lutheran, Sunbury, Ohio. Messiah Lutheran, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. Redeemer Lutheran, Los Alamos, New Mexico. St. John Lutheran, Paulina, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Irvine, California. And Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.